Hello and welcome to Talking Spirits Podcast, episode number 27. Last week marked 1 year of me doing the Talking Spirits Podcast, and we celebrated with a special episode in German language where my dear friend Björn Krüger was interviewing me, and we had a very nice talk about my life. This week we continue celebrating with another episode where I'm being interviewed, only this time around it's an episode in English, and your host is my dear friend Martina Schiffer-Gottfried. Martina, same as Björn, also was a guest in the first season of the Talking Spirits podcast, and a couple of days ago we had a very nice and very smooth conversation about many different topics, and yeah, I'm very happy to present it to you today, and I hope it's interesting to you and you have fun listening to it. Enjoy, and I will be back at the end of the episode.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Armin.
Hey, Martina.
It's very nice to see you.
Likewise.
What are we doing today?
Last week was the first birthday of the Talking Spirits podcast. And you have been so friendly to agree to my request to interview me.
Exactly.
And so that's why we're here now.
I'm not only just so friendly, I'm very honored to be here. I was one of the first people you actually interviewed at the start of your podcast.
Yeah, and in the first season.
The first season, exactly. And when you asked me, Martina, I need somebody to interview me. I'm like, oh, okay, I think I can do it. I have confidence in myself.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. That's nice. Yeah, I mean, people that listen to your podcast, they know you by now, but probably it has to be summed up again. Like, you're an amazing musician. You're
Thank you.
A fellow bassist. You are a great networker, awesome communicator, and one thing that has not been said enough, I think you are a very good human, like you're a good human being.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think it has not been put enough into the focus of what is happening here, because one thing that I really like about you is that you are always 100% honest. Like, if I want an honest opinion, I can always come to you and I will get it. And that's something that you are known for. Why do you think that is?
It's the best situation, if it's possible, to be like to be like that with each other, you know. I mean, I always been like this already as a kid too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I very often made the experience that, you know, many people not able to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time also I made the experience that and that goes just for me, you know, if I follow my heart and if I can be honest, then actually as a result of this, always the right things happen. They might be, you know, it might happen that somebody cannot take it and then just says, okay, I'm out. But then it's okay too. And also I would, you know, I think we need to add, so if you ask me for my opinion, I will be honest, but also if I would ask you for your opinion, I'm very grateful to you if you as in the same way honest to me. So I allow myself the right to be honest with people, but also I allow my friends or people who I'm connected with to be honest to me in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is important. It's not a one-way street, you know. Honesty is very needed, because maybe to answer your question in this way, I think no matter what you want to do, or no matter which kind of connection you want to have with people, if you cannot base it on honesty, it's not going to work out. So that's why.
I think that's a perfect answer, because I wanted to lead there. You probably have already sensed the spirit of that. I think the honesty and the connection you make with people is something that you are personally also very interested in. And you named your podcast Talking Spirits. So it's not like, let's talk about music or how's your bass going. Like, it's Talking Spirits. So the focus of this podcast are the people and the souls they have, the spirits, how they contribute to the world, to your life personally, because all of them have a personal connection to you. So, you just answered it, but like, how important is the open communication you can have, and that a person sparks this feeling that you feel connected to them?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, you know, no matter what we do, I mean, in my case, I'm a musician, but actually I'm convinced of the fact that no matter what you do, you can be a musician, you can be whatever, but everything we do is an expression of our spirits and souls. And so, and that was, I mean, you summed it up pretty mm-hmm. well, you know, the name of the show. That was the reason, because when I invite someone to be my guest, it's very important to me that, you know, the conversations are not superficial, and that every guest has the space and possibility to be honest and really put it out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it. And also, you know, I've been working as a musician for a long time, and I've met so many people and made so many experiences. And I always found, you know, the experiences the most fulfilling ones and the most happy ones for myself when there was honesty and openness.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I know you, and I think most people know you, is the only way to really connect with somebody, because if you kind of like try to close off a part of you, there is never a real connection. And I think that's also like it goes into the music realm. Yeah. Like you have talked about it in prior podcasts, but it's just a thing. You cannot connect with people if you don't have this honesty and this knowledge about yourself, and you're centered and can communicate that way.
And also to play, you know, if you play music with other people, and if you want to do it well, there needs to be trust
mm-hmm.
in between the musicians, and trust is connected to honesty and openness.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I was thinking, people have listened to your podcast for so many episodes, and I was like, what is something that you think, if people knew that about you now after listening 25 episodes, they would say, oh, I didn't know that. Or like, what? Like, I don't even connect that with Armin. Like, something that you say is an amazing fact about you, or something that is so weird that people would say, what?
Very difficult question.
I'm sorry. You said I can ask any question.
Yes, of course. Yeah, one thing which is not commonly known.
Just if you can come up, it might be something that is like just like a weird tip.
Yeah, I was able to read at the age of 3.
Oh, wow.
No, but it's really, I don't know why and how, I'm not able to recall how it happened. But I just, at some point around 3, I was able. My parents noticed that I just
That's
could read,
amazing.
You know. And there's a funny story actually about it, because my mother's grandmother, mm-hmm. who I happened to know when I was a kid. And now you have to imagine, I mean, that was in Bosnia, mm-hmm. in Yugoslavia, and she was an old lady. At that time, she might have been already around 80,
mm-hmm.
when I was like 4 or 5, you know, mm-hmm. she used to have like, you know, some of her ladies' friends in the same age coming over to her place,
mm-hmm.
and they had coffee, you know, and they would sit together and talk, and you really would have to imagine like old school Bosnian ladies, you know.
So I'm trying to figure it in my brain. Like I'm drawing a picture that, while you're talking. It's amazing.
Quite peculiar, you know. It was very funny, and I cannot, I mean, it's difficult to describe, but the people of that generation in Bosnia, they had their own vibe, you know,
mm-hmm.
and also the jokes and how they would talk to each other, you know, mm-hmm. and so she, at one point, she told her friends, you know, he's like about me, like he's like 4 or 5 and he can read already. And there's already, and they said, ah, come on, you know, impossible, you know, it's not, don't tell us. stuff like this because we cannot, you know, we don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And then she said, okay, next time he would come here, I will show you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that, of course. And then I came to visit her.
Okay, like it was a setup.
Yeah, it was a setup. I came to visit her and in a situation where she was sitting down with her friends. And then one of the friends gave me a newspaper and turned it around, you know. Mm-hmm. Turned it like on the head.
Okay.
And said, hey, can you read something for us? You know, and she thought like, you know. And then I said to her, what's wrong with you, lady? You know, what the fuck's wrong with you? Why are you giving me this newspaper turned on, you know, turned around?
Upside down, yeah.
Upside down, yeah. And then I turned it around again and then I read something from them.
Amazing.
And they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's an amazing fact. I mean, we have heard it in prior episodes when you came to Germany from Bosnia that you pretty much learned German language within, I think, 6 to 8 months, like yeah. To a level that in the second half of the school semester, you could basically partake in all the tests.
That's true. Yeah.
I know that you are very good with memorizing stuff. I know that you're very good with learning languages. I just think you're a brain, like, you're autodidact, the same way you learn bass and like we have heard this in episodes, but like you're just very good at like kind of like getting into something, understanding it, and then just doing, applying it.
Yeah, if I'm interested. Still works fine with things which I have an interest for. But when I'm not interested, like, then it's exactly the opposite, you know? Then I'm like, the worst.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's not something which I have thought about very much because it just was natural, you know? It just was like that always. Mm-hmm. Like people also in school or in music, people noticed certain things and then they said to me, hey, how it's possible that you can do that? You can learn, for instance, you can learn 2 hours of music in one day and play it the next day. But I don't know. You know, I never thought about it. It just happened. It wasn't natural. I mean, I think every human being born on this planet is supplied with a set of gifts, which were given talents. Mm-hmm. And at the same time with things which we are not good at. And so my set of gifts included
memory,
stuff like this, like memory or musical memory, mm-hmm. or also, you know, also visual memory. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for it, you know, because it has made many things possible and also made many things easier. But you would have to see me like doing sports, you know. I'm a total loser. Okay. Actually, the only sports I really love to do is riding a bike.
But you still do that? On a regular, I often see you in the city. We live in the same city.
Yeah, it's the only one which I can do. I don't know, like any like ball games or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm really not able to do it, you know. I'm also to conduct my body in a way where it could do the moves which need to be done, no.
Which is
And
quite,
it's funny.
It's really funny because like you have a manual or physical job, like playing a bass, for example. It is like it's more a man. It's also like a very manual.
Yeah, it's a physical
job, but probably it's just for the upper limbs.
I mean, I said earlier when I'm interested, when I have interest, then I can do things. And I was never interested in sports, you know, very much. Mm-hmm. I never liked football or whatever kind of games. Mm-hmm. Just not in general. I always felt anything which includes competition. Well, mm-hmm. always felt strange to me, you know, as a kid already.
Okay, interesting.
And I have one memory from school, you know, when there would be like, you know, we are playing a game of, I don't know what, football, mm-hmm. and then teams are being chosen.
Mm-hmm. I remember this painfully.
And I was always the last one. Nobody wanted to have me on that team, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was always the last one. And yeah, so... You know, there's always two sides of a coin. Mm-hmm. So I have my talents in certain areas, but then there's other areas where it's like just not happening. Mm-hmm. But I'm fine with it, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Never had problems with.
I was thinking what you just said, like everybody has a specific set of abilities they have, or like a certain setup of things they can do very well and things they can't do very well. And my question is, like, do you think if you would not have become a musician for any reason, what else would you have become with this same set? Or what else would you have liked to become if you had been given a different set of skills?
Yeah, good questions. I mean, basically, maybe I would like to add something to this skill set mm-hmm. thing. In my case, I was very lucky that, you know, my parents already from like very early on, they always took me seriously. Mm-hmm. So, and so they, you know, they and so they let me do things and they mm-hmm. let me try and learn, and they always supported my ideas. You know, they never said, no, you cannot do this, or we want you to be like this. So I think that's a huge point in this thing, because sadly, many people, maybe, you know, if they're not as lucky with their parents, they never come to find out what their talents are.
Very true.
So maybe we should say that. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, basically, I think I could have done anything mm-hmm. if, you know, if I would have felt that it's the right thing to do, I would have made my way in any area. But actually, since I started playing music very early in life, like around 8, and I started playing bass, which is my main instrument, around 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And at the latest, when I started playing bass, I really knew this is what I want to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So actually, you know, I always felt like it's a huge privilege to have been knowing that so early in life. So I never had to think about it, you know? And to answer your question, I mean, there was a time, very short time in my life, where I was considering maybe studying psychology.
I can see that.
You know? But luckily, I would say, music always was stronger. Mm-hmm. My love for music was always stronger than anything else. And so, you know, psychology. But then I also thought, I mean, like I said, music was number one anyway. And then at some point I also thought, you know, maybe it's better to just stay a hobby psychologist and not really know, you know, because at some point, I like to explore psychology, or like just to read about certain phenomena or find out about how things work in the human mind and soul, and, you know, but at some point I thought maybe it's better not to know too much about it, you know, in detail.
I can see that. We had our fair share of conversations and communication about psychology,
yeah,
about humans, human behavior,
yeah,
human misbehavior, like everything. Actually, I think most of the time we talk, like besides music, we would talk about, like, not people like in a bad way about people, but like human behavior and evolvement and these things. So I can definitely see that that is something that you would have seen yourself doing. And coming back to what you said earlier, that your parents have always let you do what you wanted to do, we also talked about that, like also referring to my personal case, that I think is awesome that you knew at that early age, like you had this bass in your hand the first time and you were like, oh, that's it. Like, you just knew it. Like, yeah, it's not like you had to go to school, like all that, and then make a decision at 19, like the situation a lot of kids are in today, 18, and then somebody forces you to make a decision for your life because you already had this in you.
Yeah. And you know, what's so funny about it, like when I, around 2001, when I was finishing school, you know, it was like, you know, I would talk to my friends from school. And so since it was so natural and so very clear and obvious to me, you know, what I would like to do and what I already have been doing mm-hmm. when I was still at school, being a musician, I was considering that it must be like that for everyone, you know?
Oh.
You know, sometimes, I mean, one thing maybe which we learn with age, with becoming older, is that we cannot assume that things which are natural to me, then they don't have necessarily to be natural for anyone else, right. You know. But back then I was thinking, you know, and then we would talk and I would ask, you know, I would ask my friends like, hey, so now we're finishing school, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to? And I was very surprised by how many people said, honestly, I don't have no fucking clue about it. I didn't expect, you know, so many of my friends, they really said, I don't know.
This.
And it was, for me, was very hard to imagine, you know, because I was, for me, was always like, okay, music is what I'm, you know, and, but this also, we can go back to what I said a few moments ago, like, many don't have the chance to find out, you know.
Mm-hmm. I can totally see that. I saw that if you would have asked me with like 15 or 16, what do you want to become? I would have said, I don't know, like maybe a lawyer or a doctor or like a banker, like all these things that are prestigious that like from my cultural background or family background would have been seen to be achieved like for society and all that. Like, and I have to come late in life to a point in which I struggle and have to see, okay, like what are you really about? What do you really want to do? And I can only imagine, because I don't know, I can only imagine what it's like at such an early age to know that already and walk in that purpose through life. Like, you just know it. Like, you are under the age of 10 and you already know, like, I'm going to be a musician. I'm going to play bass even more. It's not just like you already had your instrument and you just walk in that, and your whole thinking, your whole being can be very focused and centered around this knowledge about self, which takes away a lot of irritation, I would assume. For you.
Yes, maybe in general, but then from there, you know, there's still a million options. Things which also I or all of us still need to work on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We just talked earlier about it, that when we started, or when you started the podcast and we had this interview, or you had the interview with me, so to say.
Yeah,
or,
which was great. I can recommend everyone to listen to that episode.
I was laughing a lot. I was talking very fast. With Corona, like, it was at the very beginning of the pandemic, and mm-hmm. we were like, okay, like, what's going to be like? What's life going to be like? And I'm also thinking about what made people fit to deal with the situation. And we just talked, like, in the warm-up and sound check, we talked about how going back to the set of skills that you have, or the interest, or you being a great networker, some people just have a broader scope of things they can do, which also feeds into what you just said. Of course, you play bass, but there is a lot around it, and that's actually what you do. Like, you're an educator, you're an ambassador for music in our state, in the city. You're a band leader. You are a band member. You are like very many different things. Even though it's all in the same field, it is a broad field.
Yeah.
And you told me that you are. I have to say it differently. I know that you're a very big fan of Sade.
Oh yeah.
if I could do one thing for you,
how can you not be?
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly,
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, sorry, but how can anyone not be a fan of Sade?
I have not met anybody who said like, Sade, oh, I can't deal with that. Like,
I mean, I know even, you know, I know even some guys who are like really hard into death metal, like. You know, and even some of those guys where you would never think of it, they love Sade, and they would never say it out in the open, you know.
Yeah, I know you're a great fan, and you would love to like have a musical project with her. And I looked up some of like the stuff she said in interviews, and there's a quote she said, I only make records when I feel I have something to say. I'm not interested in releasing music just for the sake of selling something. And as far as I understood, like, you have something to say. Like, you're about to work on something, on something that you have to say, not as a member of another band, but like on your own stuff. Is there something you can tell us something about?
Yeah. Yes, I can. But firstly, now that you mentioned Sade, there's one thing also connected to this quote which you quoted. Actually, I think, you know, if we think about, like, you know, what's music or why do we do music, I would say, like, actually what any musician, or at least for me, it's like this, like, okay, why do we do it? And what's the purpose? And the purpose should be to tell a story. Mm-hmm. So connecting to what she said, she would only record when she has something to say, makes perfect sense. But then again, considering the fact that she became world famous already in the 80s, mm-hmm. she's in a situation where she can deal with it in that way. Mm-hmm. Luckily, you know. There's one story I read when, do you know her album Lovers Rock? Mm-hmm. From, I think, 2000 or 2001. And that was an album which she put out after a long break of not releasing any new music.
Maybe 10 years, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when she was doing promo, you know, for the album, and she was asked about it, and why, and she got asked why the break was so long. Mm-hmm. And then she told the story that I think her aunt was terminally ill, you know, sick, and that she stopped her whole career and everything. And now we have to imagine, I mean, it's mm-hmm. Sade. It's a fucking
world star, fucking
big machine, you know, mm-hmm. like you cannot, it's not really easy to say, I have to stop it because I want to take care of my aunt who's sick. Mm-hmm. And she did it. Mm-hmm. And she just said, you know, she stopped everything, mm-hmm. and she didn't do any music or gigs or writing new songs for the time being, where she was taking care mm-hmm. of her family member who was sick. And then her aunt, I think it is, she died. Mm-hmm. And when, after she died, then Sade wrote this album, Lovers Rock, you know.
Okay,
and when I read this, I was even more impressed, you know, because in a situation like hers, where you are like, where you're really, you know, like a world star, and you have so many fans around the world, and you have so many people working
for
in
you.
Your organization, you know, mm-hmm. to just say, okay, I mean, it's all fine, but there's something more important mm-hmm. right now, which I really need to do. And you know, I think that's a huge, it takes a lot of strength to do something like this. And in a way, it impressed me very much when I read this. But also it you know, it kind of did fit to, I mean, I never met mm-hmm. her. I just know the music and maybe some interviews, of which there are not many because she's not very much present.
Yeah, she's
in
not
the press.
Like a, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then, you know, it somehow it made sense, you know, and I found it very beautiful. And then also listening to that album with this in mind,
yeah, having that
made
in mind.
It even stronger.
Yeah. You know? Before you answer the question about like what you have to say, I think you can also connect with this because you're also a family and friends person. Like
very much so, yeah.
I think you can relate very much with such a decision to kind of like prioritize private time or family issues over other matters.
Yeah, over career, money. I mean, everybody, we can just talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's different for everybody, but shit needs to feel right, you know? Mm-hmm. And no matter what, it needs to feel good and it needs to feel right. And it needs to, I mean, for me, it's like in any way, no matter what I do, in any decision, you know, when I can take a decision coming from the heart, in the end, always things work out fine. But anytime I didn't trust my mm-hmm. intuition, I paid a price. Let's say it like that.
I can understand that.
And it's okay too, because it's, you know, it belongs to the experiences we need to make. But to me, that would be the way to go always, you know, if I can make it.
If you can do it, right? Yeah, but like, I think you are the type of person that mostly finds a way to do exactly that.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. It's just a beautiful thing to live by that paradigm or to live by that standard of wanting that for oneself and for people around you.
Yes. And I mean, we need to, and I'm not saying that it was easy, you know, but we need to set our own thing in a way where we can be okay mm-hmm. with ourselves and mm-hmm. with our lives and what we do and what we don't do. Because it's only then that we can be able to also give mm-hmm. to others.
Definitely.
I think. And I mean, it's easier said than done, but it's possible also.
Mm-hmm. As we see.
It's a long road, but it's possible.
I think also like going into that and another episode that in which you said that people nowadays, like the, I think you referred to them like the young people today, the young kids, like...
Yeah.
It made me feel so old when I heard that, but then I was like, okay, man, yeah. Like I'm 40 plus, like I'm not really young.
You and me, you know, we still feel in our spirit, we don't feel old, but I mean, we are in our 40s and it's a different point in life than when we were 20
yeah, definitely.
Or 15, you know.
Definitely. And what you were talking about is that nowadays, young people, they perceive music differently. They stream it. They don't have an album. They don't go into like listening to an album, the full concept. Like, I don't know if you did it. I did it. You saved your pocket money. You talk with your friends and okay, this month I can buy this album and maybe you can buy this album and I can borrow it from you.
We have been doing that, yes.
So we've been doing that.
And I've been spending all of my money for music when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too.
All of it.
And cinema. Cinema and music.
And things come to mind, you know. I used to go to here in Wuppertal to the record store.
Uh-huh.
And some record stores, and then when something new came out, which I wanted to listen to, I didn't have the money to buy it, you know. And then there was one store where when you listened for longer than 5 minutes, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, I was like 13, you know. When I listened to longer than 5 minutes, then they would say, hey, man. If you want to listen,
buy it.
It was very unfriendly. But then there was another store here in Wuppertal, LP, and there were some guys. They were really cool, you know. They could see that I really love it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would just let me stand there and listen the whole album.
I think that's a big part of the musical education of those that are older, like this kind of like gang feeling, or you're going to a place where you feel home, like you're at home, like not saying that you're not being understood, but like it's like a different type of home. You go there, you see like what is the new records, you kind of like talk with them, chit-chat about like when is this and this band doing that.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole atmosphere that I think is nowadays, like probably is coming back partially, but like it's not there by just like clicking on Spotify or iTunes and just going to a particular song. And the idea of having a whole album that is a concept, like a whole construct, I want to say similar to a book where you don't go and you just read the fourth or fifth chapter, but you read the entire book to understand
or
it.
Or like a movie.
And what I wanted to lead to is that you said that you had been identifying more with the artist, like when you knew what they did, or like you were more about understanding like who they are as a person, in ways to connect with the music. And that is something that the young generation, the young kids nowadays don't do. And this is why I think it feels so perfectly into what you just said about Sade, like her making this decision. Is a prime example of exactly that. You had a high respect for her because she did this private decision, which had nothing to do with if you like a song or don't like a song. It is the attitude and what that person is about.
Yeah.
And I think that is a nice thing. If you reach that level that people like consider that or talk about it. I don't know, like, what do you think if people look at you as an artist, like, even if you have something, I'm making the bow to like what is coming up with for you. What do you think? I can say, what do you think? Like, what would you? No, I'm going to say it that way. What do you think people can understand about you, or how do they perceive you? Like,
yeah, I guess different. You know, like, because everybody has their way of perception. And of course, I mean, that would be a question which we should ask them.
Yeah.
Better than me, but maybe it's known that I can play bass by now. Okay. Yeah, but it's, you know, I mean, I'm not very much occupied with it. Of course, I'm always very happy when somebody would tell me that they could feel. Not, you know, I mean, there's also in music, there's so many different levels. I mean, one level is skills or what you can do, mm-hmm. but the other level is what you can say, what you can transport emotionally with the music. And I always feel very happy when somebody would tell me that they, you know, they felt they could feel it. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, so I could touch somebody emotionally, you know. Mm-hmm. It means much more to me than when somebody would say, oh, you can play crazy.
You play the craziest licks like you play fast.
And if you look, you know, if you look at the way how I play, maybe this shows also because, I mean, of course I can, you know, I have my set of skills, but I was never very much focused on, you know, practicing 10 hours a day. In order to be able to do crazy shit, which I love, you know, when I listen to Marcus Miller or Richard Bona or Jaco Pastorius, I love it, mm-hmm. you know. But for me, when I was young, I mean, I did practice, but there was so many other things which I wanted to do, you know, mm-hmm. like just be together with my friends and also mm-hmm. have parties, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. And to come back to your question, I mean, there's as many perceptions of it as there's people who listen to it. And it could also happen that you find some who would say, you know, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Especially when I was younger, it was very often the case that people dissed me and they said, you know, you think you are good, but you're not that good. And, you know, mm-hmm. like just putting it down.
We don't need that.
But this is something different. This coming from a different place, you know. I mean, when I was young, I made very often the experience that many people were envious, you know, mm-hmm. and I think envy is a very dangerous and difficult thing because it's a poison. Mm-hmm. It's a venom, you know, and when you let envy take control in yourself, then it goes in ways where it's just not, you know, it's not a good thing to be. But I really don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, we would have to wait. It's just like, I was thinking like it's, I think somebody else asked me that one day. They asked me like, the day you die, what do you want to have people say about you? And I'm like, what type of question is that? But then like, I was really, in the first second, I was like, why do you ask me that? Like, why do you put something like this in the atmosphere? But then the longer I thought about it, it's like, okay, what are your standards? Like, what are you standing for in your life? And will that probably, or that will most likely lead to how people perceive you after you're gone? Like, what type of person was she? And kind of like when preparing for this, it reminded me of this, like, what do you stand for as a person? And do people always see who you are as a person? And what are the means you have to express that?
Maybe if we go at it from that from that point of view, maybe it's easier for mm-hmm. me to give an answer. Yeah, I mean, I said earlier, okay, you know, I think music is, for me, for my experience in my life, I would say music is the most powerful connector we have. Because, I mean, you can sit together with people. I had situations where I was playing a gig with someone in Russia. I was in Russia and there was a band. They needed a bass player. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be there, mm-hmm. you know, and they said, hey, can you help out? Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. You know, and then I learned one set of music on the spot and then we played a gig a couple of hours later.
Amazing.
You know, and I wasn't, but funny is about it, like I was not, I mean, there were three band members and two of them could speak English, but one didn't. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I was not able to talk to her in words, but we played music and it was excellent. You know, we had no issues whatsoever in communicating through music. So
It's an ultimate language. Like music is like the ultimate language.
I think so. Yeah. And so, you know, if you ask like, you know, how do you want to be seen or what should people remember? Mm. It would be that. Like, you know, I think at some point I noticed that through the things I used to be doing already in a young age, and which just felt natural to me, you know, I was always, I love and I like to connect people to each other, mm-hmm. and then just enable them to come together and do something together, be productive and do whatever. And sometimes I'm a part of it, you know, I'm involved and I create along them, but sometimes I'm not and I just can...
Yeah, you just put it together.
I put it together and then I can see from the distance what's happening. That's something which is very important to me. And also, in general, just to be good, you know, and do things which can be a help mm-hmm. to myself, but also to somebody else who feels attracted by it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the connection thing is actually very important because I always like to just connect people, and because I like to be in touch with people and to meet new people, and if I can help for something to take place or to happen, I'm very glad to do so. And then at some point I realized that actually, you know, me as a bassist, the bass has the same role in music. Mm-hmm. Bass in music is like a glue which glues the other parts together.
Right.
And once, because when I started to play bass, it just felt right to me. It mm-hmm. felt like this is my thing. I was trying playing other instruments before, but when I played bass for the first time, I knew, okay, this is my instrument. And then several years later, I noticed, you know, the connection thing and also the similarity, or it's not similar, it's the same. You know, if we talk about, okay, what's your task mm-hmm. on this planet during the time you are alive?
Yeah.
Then I would say mine is to connect, you know. And when I noticed that the role of the bass in music is also to connect, and then I put it all together, you know, in the context of my life, it made also playing bass much easier for me, you know?
It's very interesting.
So that would be maybe one thing, you know, mm-hmm. I think connecting.
I definitely see you like that. Like you're very, you talk a lot like with people, you're very open. Like if somebody has a question, I just know you that way, that you would answer the question. You would say,
if I can.
Yeah, if that's possible. Or I was just about to say that. Or you say like, I can't do nothing for you, or this can't be done. Like always from a very honest and upright perspective. And I like that. Like even where we met, I think we met, do you remember where we met?
I don't remember where, but I remember the situation.
Okay. I think we met like the first time we physically met was at Klangart Festival, Schofield concert.
Ah, yeah.
And you kind of like tapped me on my shoulder like, hey, like you are Martina. And I'm like, what? Like, what is going on? And it was Schofield playing.
Yeah, with Dennis Chambers and,
exactly.
and Andy Hess.
Andy Hess on bass. Exactly.
The Uber Jam.
Exactly.
It was a great show.
It was an awesome show. I just happened to be there because of Dennis, because I know him. And then, but it was really...
Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis, yeah. And what I remember is that you were very open and you directly... we kind of like stayed in contact and in touch, like very intense touch. And you have the same thing that I have. You can be very captivated like by people. Like you're so interested in people that you can like want to be in connection with them and communicate and learn everything about them, whatever realm it is. And I think this is something that we have in common. And it was the same thing back then. Like we just...
Yes. And I, you know, I remember now that like before we met for the first time, of course, I was aware of you
mm-hmm.
through Facebook or whatever, because I think we were friends.
Yeah, somehow. Like I think
social
I asked
media
you.
Before.
Yeah.
And so I could, you know, so I could get a feeling from that, from what I was seeing. And it just felt, you know, that... Yeah.
She's not a maniac.
Yeah, it just felt good, you know, to me. And then, and this is really because if you would ask me, like you did ask, you asked me before, like what would you be doing if mm-hmm. you would not be a musician? Or you also mentioned that I do many different things, but basically they are all based on the same. They are everything what which I would do, be it playing bass in a band or be it educating or be it connecting. It's all coming from the same source. Mm-hmm. And it's, for me, it's very much based on feeling, how it feels, mm-hmm. you know? And also with people, you know, when I meet people, with some you just have a certain feeling that...
It just clicks at you.
Yeah, that it would be a good fit. And that happened to both of us a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also had some, you know, I had funny... in the past also when I was younger, but it still it can happen today as well. You know, sometimes you see someone for the first time mm-hmm. for like just a few, you see somebody playing on stage or you just see somebody, not even talk to them, but you have I had an intense feeling that this person would be important to me mm-hmm. in the future, you mm-hmm. know. Sometimes it just happens like that. And mm-hmm. I think this kind of vibes is something to where I always love to pay attention very closely, you know, mm. when I'm somewhere. Mm. Because I think this is, at least for me, I mean, this is the basis for everything.
I understand that. I concur. I think with me, it came with playing the bass. Like the bass playing was more like connecting with this side of me, like, because I'm a very rational brain person. Everything is to be analyzed, structurized, and all that. Like, you have that side too. Like, you're yeah. very strong brain analyzer, and the bass kind of like unlocked this part of, okay, like there's something like intuition, like you can have a feeling about something. And since then, like it's evolving. I'm still on the way to get where you are, but
I'm on the way too.
I understand this. I understand this feeling though. Like I understand this feeling that you see somebody and you directly, it locks. It's not only clicking, like it locks. And you just know like this person's going to be with me for a very long time, or this encounter is going to
change something
in my life, like and that's a beautiful feeling, like now I would say the first times I had been kind of afraid of it because it kind of spooked me out, and then when you embrace it, like for me, because it came so late in my life, like when you embrace it, it's like that's awesome, like you just have to dip into it.
Yeah, and for me it came very early mm-hmm. after having made some experiences, and it always turned out to be right, you mm-hmm. know. Then I didn't question it anymore, you know. And so when it happens today, which still happens, mm-hmm. I just say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very grateful because, you know, in the end, like we also said, I think earlier, you know, we could choose, you know, which way to go, what to do. But this is, for me, I was chosen by music. Mm-hmm. I would put it like that. So music is... kind of the instrument, you know, mm-hmm. but there's a task to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And so the path someone would choose is their way to fulfill what is here for them to do mm-hmm. during their time here. At least I think that. Yeah, and it's and so for me, like also what we have been saying, you know, what I said, like being a connector mm-hmm. and this being a very my task, I think then, you know, anytime when I'm connected to somebody and it feels like that, mm-hmm. I'm just really grateful, you know, because I think I can spend time alone very well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I really need to be alone also, you know, need to be just... Mm-hmm. Not listening to anything, not taking any calls, you know. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I think no matter what we want to do, we cannot do it alone. So we need to...
Wise words here.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and we need to connect to others because it's only then that we get enabled to do things mm-hmm. and to create, to do whatever. I mean, of course you can do things alone, but... it's much more fun to do it together with others. And yeah, it's more fun. And I also think the results are very different.
Yeah.
And you can experience and learn so much in the process.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome feeling. Like I think the same thing. Like if you really connected with somebody, it's like a floating feeling to me, and you have this feeling of being more than one. Like it's just a different feeling that kind of carries me a lot of times. Like when I have this situation, it just carries me and makes everything very easy, I would say.
Yeah, and also sometimes, you know, it's of a huge value also to get insights into different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes other people can make me see things which I cannot see from my point of view.
Very good point.
And this is also something I'm very grateful for, because I also think, like, you know, change in the course of a life, change is very important. Being open and willing to change. And change can only happen when you learn and when you make experiences. And this is something where it's very helpful to be connected in that process to other people.
Yeah,
I think. But it has to be the right ones as well.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you asked me also earlier, what do other people, how do other people perceive you? And I said, I don't really know. And I mean, I know for those which I'm connected to.
Mm-hmm.
But you might also find people who would say that they don't like me or they don't feel it. And I'm fine with that, because then we're just not at the same wavelength, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or they have never really met you. Like I think the background of the question is probably like I often get like people that like me, but on the other side there's people that think I'm arrogant or like I'm dominant or
yeah,
I'm like I'm super I don't know, very upfront and I'm too harsh and all that, like a lot of things that I can see. But then on the other side, I know this only because once they have looked behind what they thought they were seeing, then they see what is really happening, and then they come, oh, I thought you were this and this, so this is how I know that. And I felt like you maybe having the same experiences.
Very often.
Yeah? So what is it you get the most?
I don't know. I mean, I would say, like, you know, if somebody is really interested to get to know me and find out how I am, what I'm about, it's definitely possible. You know?
I'd definitely say the same thing.
It's very much possible, but some people, they just want to have their perceptions which are not based in reality, and in that case, in cases like that, doesn't matter what I would do to convince them that I'm not like they think I am, because they want to, you know.
When I was younger, I always thought, like, I have to let everybody see.
No.
It's not like that. But, like, once you understand, it's not like that.
If you try to go that way, then you
lose. You just lose. It's crazy.
No, that's what I would say. Like, I'm very grateful for all those where I was able to connect and to find something mutual, something which is, you know, where you can share and where you have trust. And for all the others which maybe don't feel that way, it's cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then they hopefully they find something else, somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
where they have it, this type of feeling. And it's not my obligation to, you know, I never thought too much about it, like how I never wanted to be loved by everyone. Of course, we all need love and we want to be loved.
Yeah.
But it was for me, it's not, what I do is not depending on how it's perceived in the outside. Of course, I'm always very happy and grateful to find out, you know, when I can touch somebody or somebody can connect to what I do, that's an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. But if that's not the case, it doesn't change the thing for me, you know.
Who's somebody you would say that had like a great impact on you or gave you a great advice, like somebody in your life?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge list.
Yeah, I can
it's
imagine.
A very big,
pick one.
Ah, it's impossible. I don't know. Yeah, there's really many people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I never met.
Okay, that's very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, especially now in, with the internet and with all the information being out in mm-hmm. the open, we have the chance to listen to interviews or, I don't know, whatever. And then there are some people where really, you know, where you can just take things in and where it's really helpful. Mm-hmm. And not just in music, actually, in all areas of life. But there's, of course, also many people, my friends. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I also did have some mentors mm-hmm. in music who really helped me a lot and opened things mm-hmm. for me and showed me. But actually, if you ask me to pick someone, yeah, I could pick the people I'm connected to in music the most right now. And mm-hmm. one would be Henrik Freischlader. Mm-hmm. And the other ones would be my friends from the Royal Street Orchestra. Mm-hmm. So this is the two bands I'm playing with mm-hmm. mostly for the last couple of years. And I could definitely pick those friends. Yeah, because you know, of course we are playing music together, but also we are connected as friends and we go on the road and we experience mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. with each other. You know, we are there for each other when we're happy, when we're sad, when things go well, when they don't go well. And I could definitely say that I did learn a lot from both, from Henrik and also from my friends in the Royal Street Orchestra.
Mm, very long-lasting, stable friendships.
Both of them.
You talked in former episodes about how the Royal Street Orchestra is still the same group of people. After 12 years with one addition. You mentioned that, so I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, but there's really many. And also maybe, you know, there's different, and I mean, you know yourself, we go through different phases in life. And then each phase asks for something different, what you need to learn in order to go, to be able to continue. And there has been a lot, you know. I mean, if I would start, you know.
We would not stop. We would have to make 20 episodes.
We could make one, could talk 1 hour only about that. But there's many mm-hmm. people I'm very grateful mm-hmm. to. And
I imagine we have met some of them, like digitally in the podcast. And I imagine we're going to meet some more in the next season of your podcast.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really like the format because you learn so much about the people, but also like about you and how the connections are. Like as we mentioned before, like it's Talking Spirits. And it is a very specific format where you invite people that you actually know, that you like, love, people that you have been working with. And it makes it very special because it feels like an invitation on your couch. I'm sitting on your couch right now and it feels like friends are talking and there's just a microphone on. And yeah. I like this format very, very much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was actually the idea because I was thinking, looking back, I mean, I'm 40 now. I mm-hmm. will turn 41 very soon in September. And thinking back of the time I've been in music, which is now close to 30 years, and how many people I was able to meet, you know, mm. and how many amazing people I was able to meet. And then we used to have these conversations, you mm-hmm. know, which was very often very eye-opening, you know, and very helpful. Especially music, sometimes, you know, when you get together with someone who you can learn from, this happens very often more through conversation than mm-hmm. through actually playing music together.
Okay.
For me. And so that was the idea because I was remembering, you know, so many wonderful encounters and conversations I was able to have, which were so valuable to me that I felt like it would be amazing to share them with even more people. And that's how this project or this idea came about. And I think by now, you know, we did a quite okay job
Oh, yeah. You did an amazing job. You did an amazing job. Like, what is it that you would have liked to know before you had started this podcast? I mean, I saw you now. I'm in your studio. There's a lot of equipment now. But like, besides like, or even technical, whatever, like, what would you have liked somebody to tell you before you started the podcast, really?
I don't know, really, because, I mean, of course, you know, one thing, because actually I had the idea, my usual plan was, okay, I want to do it. I felt, again, with this, same as with anything else, it just felt like something which I would love to do, and it felt right to do it, you know. And as usual, with anything, if I have this kind of feeling, I just go for it, and I just start somewhere. You know, I start with zero, and I just see where it takes me. And so my original idea was, okay, I want to do it, and I want to really do one episode every week. And then I recorded the first
season.
Record the first season, and then when I, you know, editing and working and preparing for release, then I noticed that I really had underestimated how much time it takes, how much work it is. And so that was when I realized, okay, if I really want to do this every week, then it's a full-time job. It's impossible, you know, because I'm still a musician and I still have other things I love to do and I need to do and I want to do. And so that's why it's going in seasons. So that was one thing, you know, where I really did underestimate how much work it was.
Okay.
Of course, this is also better by now because, you know, with experience and then you get some more tools and equipment, which makes it easier, makes it possible to do things faster. But that was one crucial thing. And apart from that, I think sometimes I think it was perfect because I started like with my guts, with very naively, let's say. But for me, this is mostly a good thing to do, you know. Sometimes very good not to know too much before.
Exactly.
And to find out why you do it, you know.
Yeah. It might prevent you from doing it at all if you know too much. Like, I think this naivety that, or how you say this word, naivety that you have, it can help you kind of like take on challenges that might, if you look clearly at them, might be a little bit too like wide or big or whatever. And if you just start.
I like to just do it, you know, and then see what happens. Also, one thing, you know, which I can say is like, I was thinking about like, you know, how long should an episode be? And my feeling from the start was like that I don't want to really put a limit to it, you know. Of course, okay, at some point I said, okay, like let's go with like 1 hour. But it could also be longer than that. Or it can also be shorter. But I didn't. Some people used to say to me, yeah, maybe you should do like 30 minutes. Because then if you do 30 minutes in each episode, then more people would be listening, you know, because the attention span of people is not... Yeah. As it used to be anymore, and so on and so on. But for me, it was like, if I would do 30 minutes, then it's impossible to really go deep, you know?
The natural flow of the conversation is just gone if you know that you just have 30 minutes. It's like a meeting is not a conversation.
Yeah, and so, you know, like from a commercial point of view, it might make sense. It could make sense to say, okay, I will do like short episodes. But then I would not be able to really do what it's about. And so I just said, okay, fuck it. You know, we just do like what we do and let's go for 1 hour. But if an episode should be 2 hours, it's cool. If it's interesting, you know, and if the guest has a lot to share, which is good for people to know, then an episode can be 2 hours. And funnily enough is... like the most successful episode by now is the second longest.
Okay, interesting.
You know, with Klaus Fischer, with my friend.
Interesting.
Which proves...
Klaus, yeah, I know Klaus.
Yeah, but which proves that my initial feeling was right, you know? And I also think this is, for me, there's a huge problem that you... that we try to put things in forms, and a song should not be longer than 3 minutes
and 20 seconds. Shit, yeah, you know? Yeah, it's really bullshit. I understand it, like, from the expectation point of view, that you want to have like a certain format. People are used to having introduction and the guest and the questions and this sub format, and then it's end, and you just have a menu that you can consume. I want to say every Monday, because you just know this is the exact same thing I can do when I'm in on the, I don't know, treadmill in the fitness studio. But for my personal taste, and I think that's where we agree also, it takes away from this natural flow of a conversation. Yeah. and where you want to lead. Who is somebody that might lead to the longest episode that will ever be done? Like, who's a guest that you could see, or that you would want to have, like, or dead alive? I don't know. Like, anybody you'd say, like, I can talk with that person probably for hours. Like,
oh,
except for Sade.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's also many, of course, you know. Huh? I don't know. It's very difficult to pick names here again. You know?
Yeah, it's.
But I can say this much. I mean, I have a list of potential guests who I would love to have on the show, and on the list is about 300 names.
Damn.
You know? I don't know. I mean, there's really many.
Yeah.
I would love to have Sheree Reed on, for instance.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
Or somebody like Keziah Jones as well, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's many people. There's an endless list in my mind.
I can see that. Would it take away, like, from, like, you now having people that you know, you have worked with, or they are friends of yours, and like taking it to the podcast is doing very awesome, like in the charts and everything. So I guess more audience and all
that's
that.
Okay.
I think it develops, like, it developed very, very good for being what it is.
Yeah.
And like opening the concept to people that you would love to talk with but have never really worked with, or been friends with or anything.
Yeah, definitely. On that list which I mentioned, there's also many people where I feel a connection, or I have respect for what they do, but we have not talked yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course. It would be important that I have some kind of connection, so that I like what somebody's doing, or I feel impressed by their life story.
Appreciation,
you know,
or like something.
There needs to be something. But when this is present, of course, it would be possible. And they, like I said, I mean, there's a huge list.
Let me know if I can do anything for you. If there is somebody on the list, I might know.
I could think so.
Yeah, I would do my best, because I strongly support the format. You know that already. You know that already. We have touched a topic a lot of times, but we have not really gotten to it. I open with the quote of Sade saying that she releases the music when she has something to say, and you're about to have something to say, or you already have something to say, and you're about to do something that people can listen to, probably.
Yeah.
So hopefully. What is that? I know you, like.
Yeah, I plan to do a solo album, which is something which has been on my mind for, let's say, 20 years, close to 20 years now. So there's some songs already which have been written, and some ideas, and I it always was with me, but I never felt like, okay, now is the time to really try and do it. And this has changed a couple of months ago, because this COVID situation has put all of us musicians in a very different situation than what we have been used to before. And so on one hand, I felt like, okay, since there will not be many gigs for at least the rest of 2021, so there would be a lot of time. And then at the same time, I feel like maybe I would be ready to be up to it, you know, because this is, I mean, honestly, you know, I don't think there's many people waiting for something like this, for a solo album from myself, you know.
Yeah.
It's not something which, you know, again, this project, it's not something which I would do for the sake of success or clicks or sales or whatever, but because really do it because I feel that there's something I would like to say. And also, I mean, it will not be a strict solo album because it will include many guests, other musicians, friends. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I mean, I started to combine, you know, to collect ideas and mm-hmm. see what should be on it and what should not be on it, maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. But basically, yeah, it would be like a journey of different, you know, different aspects
mm-hmm.
of my life and my musical life too, you know, and connected to the great pleasure to have many friends playing with me on it who I have been connected to for the last 15, 20 years.
Looking at that, it can be everything and nothing. Like, what I mean is, like, you have so many friends you're connected with. You have played so many different styles. I mean,
I made like maybe one limitation. Mm-hmm. I think metal will not be a part of it.
Okay.
For two reasons. I've been doing so much of this that I feel like, I mean, I will not say I will never do it again, but there's so much that, you know, I feel like, okay, I've said enough in this mm-hmm. this area. And then also, you know, it would not, maybe it would not be really fitting to all the other things mm-hmm. which are going on. And but there might be some rock mm-hmm. still. I mean, I still like, you know.
I know.
I like intensity also in musical ways. Yeah, but apart from that,
You like versatility too. Like, I think it's not many people out there that are so versatile in what they do. I think I have heard some of the most beautiful melodies on a fretless bass from you, as well as I've heard some of the punchiest rock stuff being played, and it's all coming from the same person. And there's a whole bunch between that. So when you say like I have a new project, like I can think about everything because there is not really anything I can think you not being engaged in and not doing.
Yeah.
So that's it's just one aspect of you. Like some people just go into one direction, and you have all these different things in you. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what's going to happen.
Yeah, me too. You know, but this is also funny because, I mean, there's very different ways of choosing a path in music, and I didn't choose it. Like I did make the conscious choice that I want to be a musician and I want to play music, but I never said like, okay, I mean, of course, when I was like 15, there was a couple of years where I was like, I'm metal only, you know.
Yeah.
But that was connected to teenage years where mm-hmm. it was important to be like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But very soon after this, it really opened up. Because as a kid before, mm-hmm. the teenage years, I was already listening to a huge variety of music and I loved all of it, you know. And then it just opened up and it didn't, I got attracted, you know, at certain points in my life, I got attracted by mm-hmm. a certain style of music mm-hmm. or by a certain expression. Mm-hmm. And then I felt drawn to it, to explore it and to learn how to play it. Mm-hmm. But it always evolved naturally. I mean, I can very much understand and I can see people who choose to go to be only in one musical style, you know, that's perfectly fine. If it feels right for them to do so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But for me, just like the way how my life is, you know, mm-hmm. it would just not be natural to limit myself to one thing because I really love so many different mm-hmm. musical styles. I mean, if you would check out my record collection or what I listen to, mm-hmm. there's really everything on it. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way as I love to listen to a huge variety, it also just felt natural to play a huge variety of musical styles. And I think like every time you do something different, it allows a different perspective on music and on life because any musical styles is always connected to cultural factors and to how the ones who play it, where they're coming from, how they live their life. And mm-hmm. I find this type of background knowledge mm-hmm. very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy always when I have the chance, you know, to dive in a new culture, a new way mm-hmm. of expression, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's just natural to do. But it's challenging though, you know. I think challenge is when you play something which you are not very familiar with, the task is to play it in an authentic way.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
I know exactly. I have some pictures or videos in my mind automatically pulling up of people like being from a certain style, playing a different style, and you can just always hear it through, and you want to have this this authentic feel or like the respect to the genre.
Yeah, and then respect to what was there before, you know?
Yeah.
And also respect to the circumstances, you know, yeah. where it's coming from. And this is also something, you know, which I think music or actually any kind of artistic expression is always like a display of a moment in time mm-hmm. and of a society of mm-hmm. circumstances. Mm, yeah, and I think these aspects are very important and they need to be paid attention to. And taken care of, you know. But for me, it's like, you know, I just love it. And but of course, you know, there's also some musical styles where I just don't feel that I belong there.
Like what is an example of that, for example?
Yeah, for instance, like Latin, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I know how a Latin group works and I can play mm-hmm. it. I can execute it, you know.
Yeah.
But I just don't. And of course, you know, I like Buena Vista Social Club a lot too, you know,
yeah.
but I still don't feel like, you know, if I would be called for a Latin gig, I would pass it on to somebody who really is at home there mm-hmm. because it just, I mean, I don't, there's very difficult to describe it, but some things, some music just vibes with you mm-hmm. and other things they just mm-hmm. don't in that way mm-hmm. and so
I can relate to that, like the yeah. last episode I think you talked about music always being around in your house,
yeah,
and that your parents didn't play instruments themselves but that they had always music in the house and you were exposed to that music
yeah.
and the wide variety of it, and I think that's a beautiful, it's just a beautiful thing because it makes you versatile, like in listening, it's ear training, it's melodies, and you kind of like pick up a lot of different styles as opposed to just being in one genre, like you come from a metalhead household and everybody just does that one thing.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny about it, it's like with some things, how can I put it, you know, there's some music styles where you really need to, how can I say it? We are all accustomed to what we grew up with and what we are socialized with in a musical way. And then when you get to hear, to listen to something new and you want to try to play it, then with some things, it's actually easy because mm-hmm. they can be connected easily to what you already know.
Yeah.
But then there's also other things where the essence is so different that mm-hmm. you, first thing you need to do is you need to teach yourself or mm-hmm. your brain and your ears how to listen to it mm-hmm. in the first place, you know,
okay.
before you can start understanding what's happening there. We could take, as examples, we could take Indian music. Mm-hmm. When you compare it to music we are used to listen to, mm-hmm. it's very different, you know, because there's a rhythmically is very different.
Complex also.
Much more complicated. Mm-hmm. And then also harmonically it's very different because mm-hmm. we have like microtones, quarter tones. Mm-hmm. And this is something also in Arabic music, you know, when
yeah.
you listen to Arabic music, you have also different grooves, which are not only 4-4. Mm-hmm. And you have quarter tones and microtones. And this is something, there's a very fine nuances, you know, and you need to teach your system mm-hmm. to notice the differences, you know.
Yeah.
And this is, anytime it happens, it's amazing. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I mean, basically we could take any style of music.
Any style of music,
and,
yeah.
And you would find things which are really crucial and which you're not familiar with. And mm-hmm. and this is, I, when that happens, I feel like a kid, you know, in a candy store. Mm-hmm. Or like in, you know, mm-hmm. wow, this is also possible.
It's a new thing.
and it all, and but any time, but it all comes back to, you know, how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm. I read this in a book too, that music is the only thing that can, as far as this scientific book said, is the only thing that can make you or can evoke the same emotion in you over and over. And that is the secret why people listen to certain songs over and over again, because a certain cadence of or a certain part of the song just like ramps up a certain emotion in you. And no matter how often you hear it, like it can always, it has the potential to always release the same emotional
yes.
answer.
Yes. And one example for it is like when you, let's say you listen to something which you used to love 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you are not into it as much as you used to be,
mm-hmm.
but when you listen, you can still remember
mm-hmm.
you, the memories of the time when you were into it very much. Mm-hmm. They come immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think this is the case because music actually, you know, music connects to all senses,
mm-hmm.
not just hearing or listening
yeah.
or watching. It connects to everything, and mostly, most importantly, the emotional side, which is, mm-hmm. as I have already said, which is for me the most crucial anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I think, what you know, what a gift
music is.
Music is for all of us.
Yeah. I just talked to someone like 2 hours ago, maybe, that was, that is actually in a high function in the German Association for Dementia and oh. neurological situations. And we were talking about a campaign we want to do and how music can bring back memories, can bring back like whole repertoires of movements and all that just by like listening to this piece of music. Like there's one very famous example of this ballet dancer who did Swan Lake. And she listened to the music and out of a sudden she the entire choreography, like this woman was in a wheelchair, like the entire choreography was there again. She did it in perfect timing and they juxtaposed a video of Swan Lake to it. Or another example of a woman that was a pianist and she said, like, I don't know how to play it. But then they played like the first bar and she started and then she it was like a record. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think that is just so amazing about yeah. music. It's fascinating.
Also, there's lots of aspects of musical therapy,
yeah.
you know, for different mm-hmm. conditions. And I can, if I just take it to myself, you know, I can definitely say that music was a healer for me,
mm-hmm.
for my life, you know, and helped me tremendously to deal with trauma from the war, for instance, or also other issues and problems which I encountered in my life. And so I think this is it's a very crucial aspect.
Yeah.
And it's a one of many powers which music definitely has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as soon as you can connect to it and you don't just see it as entertainment and you let it be with you. I mean, it can be entertainment too.
Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with entertainment.
There's nothing wrong, but it has like, it has more in it than just being that song on the radio, that song in the club. It can really like do that. You talk about musical therapy or like a lot of different things that some people may, I mean, your listeners are maybe aware of it because most of them are musicians or related to music somehow. We don't know. So,
Yeah, but that's why I said, you know, I know that it did that or it's still doing that for me. And I know this to be true for many friends or other musicians I'm connected with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you listen to some, or I mean, let's talk about jazz, you know. How did jazz came to be? Why, you know, how did it happen? And of course, evolution of jazz music in the beginning was definitely a therapy for all the guys mm-hmm. who did it and girls. You know, in times of racial segregation in the States, of course.
Yeah, I guess I know it's like surely one part of it.
Yeah, and very crucial one.
Yeah.
Or blues.
Yeah.
You know, same.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually types of music I'm very drawn to.
Yeah, and what I think very often nowadays is like that. It's kind of pity that, you know, those roots are very often not really paid attention to anymore by people who play now.
Mm-hmm. It's the background understanding. That's what we talked earlier about, like having an understanding of like what time does the music come from, like what place was the artist at, like what was the music in its context, and not just looking at it as a solitary piece of something. Like I think this also happens a lot with hip hop music, with rap music, yeah, with rock music, even like with a lot of music that we look at nowadays. It has been there forever. We know this song for 40 years, for 30 years, but like looking at it closely now, in its context at that time, you understand how revolutionary it was because of one of many aspects, either the message it had or the technique that was used. Or
yeah, but this always goes together.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's there's all of those factors are always they are influencing each other.
Yeah,
but maybe that's what I wanted to say. You know, that I think like the social aspect and the aspect of music or art being a display of social circumstances and situations, it's just not, at least in the mainstream, it's not as present anymore as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this aspect. And I find that quite sad, to be honest, because you said it earlier, you know, entertainment. I mean, now entertainment is a huge part of it. And yeah, the societal context.
Yeah.
It's just not as present as it used to be, from my point of view.
There's a lot of quantitative aspects that are now being taken into consideration, like even at the labels, like which music is going to be brought out, what music is going to be put on the market. And I think it has changed a lot since, or in the times of music, like even from 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, like it's a sign of the times. And I think we are at the moment in times that are very fast living, very quantitative. It's about selling. How many Instagram followers do you have? How many minutes do you stream? Does your video have 500 million views or 1 billion views?
Yeah.
And that's a whole different game.
It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with music. I think, you know, this development started in the 80s with the rise of MTV, because when they started producing video clips for music, it was the first moment in history that the picture, the visual aspect of it, became more important than the actual music itself. And so that started a motion which is now on a whole different level. With everything you just described, yeah. And I mean, of course, there are also some advantages to it, but there's a lot which I really don't like that much, because it's taking away from what it is about, you know. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, what can we do? I mean, I cannot. It would not change my love towards music and what I want to do.
I would say like a conscious choice about what music you listen to. Like I always say about myself, I have musical Tourette, because first of all, I don't like to listen to radio.
I mean, you cannot listen to radio in Germany because there's actually like 99% of everything which is played in radio. The big radio stations is just not listenable.
Yeah, and even if it's listenable, like it's hyper repetitive. It's not as repetitive as in the States, like where I often am. But like there, you would actually have the same song. Like I would be just in the car, and you would have the same song 10 times within one day. And I'm not driving 10 hours. I'm driving like just like several times a day. But it's just they play the same song, and it's never played fully. It's out of context. I have the same issue with classical music. I come from playing recorder in orchestra. I played viola for a time.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that. Yeah, like for the orchestra, they wanted a viola and a double bass. And at that time, I was like, man, I'm not stupid. Like, what the fuck I'm going to learn double bass for? And now I wished I had chosen the double bass, because I hated the viola and I didn't want to play it. But that's a story for a different episode. But what I mean is, like, with the musical Tourette, like, I'm trying to force myself also to always be open to new stuff. Like, I would deliberately listen to Release Radar. I would go and read magazines about which music is coming out, be in the internet, research, and look at, because I want to come across new stuff. Or when people say, hey, you should listen to this, I would always listen to it. It's not like, oh, I don't know this band, I'm not going to listen to it, because I'm trying to broaden my understanding of what there is. And I think that is different from just like receiving what somebody else feeds you all the time. That's my point. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, and but it's also different in, like I said, I mean, Germany, when you listen to the things which are being put on the radio, it's just, for me, it's nothing there for me, you know, to draw from. Mm. But in other countries, it's also different. You know, when, for instance, in Bosnia even, where we could say, okay, you know, it's a war-torn country and it's, but you know, when you listen to the big radio stations there, they still play good music, actually.
So. And now, I think in Germany, you also mentioned that before, but like it's just like some certain spots in the program where you have this 1 hour of music that is actually like different or touches
your soul. Yeah, it's in the nighttime. When nobody, like I said, when nobody's listening.
Yeah, and that's very sad.
Yeah.
it's very sad. And this is why I, for myself, decided I'm not going to listen to radio no more.
I don't do it.
You don't do it either?
At all.
Because I don't want to be, I don't want my mind to be musically
polluted.
Raped. I'm not into that. Like, I want to make that choice.
Yeah, and I'm actually, you know, but we are in a good place because we can choose from so many things.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's a beautiful, probably last words. We're in a beautiful place because we can choose from so many, many things. Like, I just like this as a positive outlook in these times that are kind of troubling for some of us.
Yeah.
And look at this other side that we actually live in a, and you notice especially, like, coming from different backgrounds, we are in times that have a lot of opportunities for us, and we also have to look at that despite of what is going on.
Yes. Yes, I mean, it might not be very easy at times, you know, especially now with all of this which is going on. But still, it depends very much. It's this also very subjective, you know, it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It pays off. Mm-hmm. If you can manage, if you can muster the strength and courage to try and see life as a gift and as something good and positive, because once we have this perspective, there's always things which can be very helpful and, you know, help us to continue and do so in a good and positive way, I think. And yeah, I mean, not that I am successful at it at all times.
No.
We all have our moments, you know. Yeah, but still, you know, I mean, there's always lots of factors which make life really worth being lived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is the question I cannot ask you?
You mean like which question I don't want to be asked?
Yeah, because you don't want to answer it, but when you say it, you have to answer it. Mind games.
I don't know. Actually, there are no, I mean, you could ask me anything, but maybe I'm, you know, I could say maybe I'm quite content. I'm quite happy with the fact that you didn't ask me about COVID.
Yeah,
about
I
this.
Know.
You know, for just for one reason. I mean, we could, of course, we could talk about it, but I think, you know, it has been way too dominating, way too prevalent in actually everyone's everyday life.
Yeah.
You know. Also in the podcast, like in the first season when I recorded the first season, it was just when the whole thing started. And so I felt like, okay, I'm not gonna ask anyone about it, you know, because it was everywhere anyway. And so I wanted to have to do a contrast. But in the second season, I asked everyone, every guest, the first question was like, how they dealing with it? Because at that point, I felt it was important to, you know, that people hear how it is for musicians. And right now I'm grateful to you that you did not ask me that, because it's really, you know.
Who wants to talk about it anyways?
Like, yeah, it's just, by now I think we had it, you know.
Yeah. It's, everything so has been talked about, so I'm just
very
like...
happy if we not to discuss this every day, you know, and yeah. So that we could talk more uplifting and different things from that.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I accept this answer.
All right.
What are the last words like towards the audience, or what do you want to say that needs to be heard?
Okay. Yeah. Be kind to each other. Love each other. And be, yeah, and I think it's good if all of us try to focus, you know, try to focus on the things which are good in our lives and which are helpful, and at the same time try to prevent ourselves from being polluted too much by fear, negativity, and yeah, fear mostly, you know, because I think fear is a huge factor, and yeah, it's not easy to do, not an easy thing to do, but I think it's good for all of us if we try not to become a victim of fear.
I love that.
That's what I would like to say. And as opposed to fear is love, you know? Mm-hmm. So if we can stay in love in on that side, I could imagine that many things are much easier to deal with. And let's hope this situation won't last for another 10 years.
It won't. It won't. And love will be there, and it's the solution to everything. And people will focus on that. And I have to say thank you, Armin,
being
on your own show.
Yeah, thank you for being the host for today. It was a very enjoyable and beautiful conversation.
I love it. I love the conversation. Yeah. So thank you. And I'm looking forward to the next episode, the next season coming up.
Yeah, it will take some time, but it will come.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You have been listening to Talking Spirits Podcast, episode number 27 with Martina Schiffer-Gottfried and Armin Alic. I would like to recommend to you Talking Spirits Podcast, episode number 4, where I was interviewing Martina. It's a very interesting episode and great conversation, so make sure to check it out if you like. Yeah, right now we will be going on a little break, and I'm working on season 3 already, and I suppose it will start airing sometime in the fall. While the original concept of me having one guest in each episode will still stay in place, I'm also considering doing some specials sometime in the future, meaning special episodes around certain topics. So if you guys have any ideas or wishes regarding to this, feel free to let me know. Yeah, apart from that, let's just see where it all goes, and I'm wishing all of you a great summer, stay healthy, and see you again in the fall. Bye.